All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. A quick heads up, it's going to go quick today. We are only doing an hour. We got on the road a little later than we had hoped. Actually, we're a couple days behind. So we're going to do an hour today. We're going to get back out on the road, try to make some time. If you jump in right now, you may have a chance of getting in this first hour. So if you've got a question, a comment, a topic, press 1 on your phone right now, and we will get to that. Otherwise, we are going to get started here. So, give me 1 second.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. We take your calls and answer your questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, taxes, technology, health and fitness on the road, getting started as an owner-operator, finding freight, working with brokers. In fact, if you've got a question about anything at all, we'll tackle it here on this show. All you have to do is call us up and ask. We're going to get to the calls in just a couple minutes. We are on the road. We're on our way to Louisville, taking the long way around. We're going to be stopping in Council Bluffs and getting set up there. I know we're still 7 weeks or so away from the CMC, but this is such a major change of venue, so many things going on that we are going to spend the next 7 weeks or so there in Council Bluffs, creating some relationships, getting things set up, and making sure this is an absolutely stellar event. We're really excited about the CMC this year. A lot of new things going on. If you are not signed up, get signed up. You do not want to miss this event. We only do it once a year, and this is the biggest, baddest CMC we've ever done. We have 3 lanes this year, so we have something for everybody. If you are brand new in the industry, this event is for you. I can't think of a better way to kickstart somebody's entry into the trucking industry than to come and hang out with 350 other people with the same goals. Many of them very, very experienced. We have people who have been owner-operators for 30-plus years. They've been to this event multiple times, many years, and they are a big part of this event. There's a lot of networking going on. There's a lot of learning and sharing, and it really is just an amazing thing. On the other hand, no matter how long you've been in the industry, this event is for you. We have a whole lane this year dedicated to growing your fleet, getting your authority, getting customers, working with brokers, compliance issues, everything you need to know to become a carrier or grow a fleet. That's lane 3. Lane 1 is all about getting started as an owner-operator, buying your first truck, leasing to your first carrier, setting up your accounting budgets, compliance, everything you need to know. Lane 2 is almost for everybody. Lane 2 is a lot about the truck itself and the business in general. So I'm going to walk you through reading financial statements, setting up your accounting. We'll do fuel mileage. We'll do maintenance. We'll do just all kinds of stuff in lane 2 about being really profitable. So a lot of lane 2 is going to be presented to everybody. So the way we're setting up the schedule is in the mornings, every day in the morning, Monday through Thursday, we will be together as an entire group. All 300 to 400 people, whatever we end up with, will be together in one group, and we'll be doing those topics that apply to everybody: goal setting, business planning, accounting and financial statements. We'll also have all of our guest speakers and our keynote speakers during those mornings. So we'll be doing some negotiation stuff with George Gallimore in the morning. Larry Winget will be speaking. Dan Baker will be kicking off for us on Monday morning. I'll be doing the mornings and then handing off to some of the other speakers. Every afternoon is when we'll split and go to your individual lanes. And every day you get to pick and choose. You don't have to be locked into lane 1, 2, or 3. So if there's a, maybe you've been to the event before and you've seen Bruce Mallinson or Mike Beckett several times and you want to go learn about getting your own authority, you can pick and choose every day, every afternoon. You'll be able to pick and choose which lane you want to go to. There really has never been an event like this in the trucking industry. There's never really been anything like the CMC, but now this year with this much space, new speakers, new topics, lots of growth and lots of opportunity. So get signed up. You can go to the website and sign up yourself. It's letstruck.com. Look under the events tab, or you can always call us. We'll go over questions you have, answer anything you need to know about the event, and we'll get you signed up. And I couldn't make it any easier. We're going to finance it for you. You can pay all cash up front if you want, or we'll finance it for you, and it will cost you just about $100 to get your seat reserved and to join us in Council Bluffs. That's going to be May 16th through the 20th. I kind of gave you the schedule Monday through Thursday. Friday, we do a maintenance boot camp. We do a cookout, very hands-on. You get to go around and see demonstrations of all kinds of things maintenance-wise. Remember, Pittsburgh Power is going to be building a signature engine throughout the week. You'll be able to see that. So much going on. Get signed up. Come out and join us. We're going to get to the calls. I just wanted to say I mentioned we're on the road. We are pulled over in a rest area in Northern California off I-5 right now. And as I was getting ready to do the show, I looked over and there was a new truck, a very new truck, on a hook. It is getting so common to see trucks being towed into the shop. These trucks just don't break. They break and leave you stranded on the side of the road. The towing industry must just love these new trucks. Let me see if I have some time to grab a call before we get to a break. I do. So let's get to some phone calls. Let's start off in Pennsylvania. Jeremiah, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What can I help you with today?
I was recently in an accident, got rear-ended, totaled my truck. I was wanting to do a glider and bring everything, my whole drivetrain over, and it would only cost me about $75,000, and my monthly payments would be around $1,500 a month for 4 years, around that area. And I just wanted to see if my decrease in maintenance cost and the depreciation, how that would affect, if that would offset the payment of around $1,500.
Okay, got it. So a couple things, though. Where did you get that estimate,
$75,000? The glider itself would be $66,000 at a local Freightliner dealership for a Cascadia.
Columbia.
The Columbia.
Okay. And they say the labor's only going to be 10?
Right.
Wow. I would budget more. I mean, I know they're, you know, it's an estimate, but I would budget more. That's a lot of work for $10,000. I mean, we normally see quite a bit more than that in labor.
Okay.
But if they can get it done at that, that is a fantastic price. You can't go wrong. Now, there's no way we could totally offset that cost. I mean, that would mean you were getting a free truck. And it's just not going to happen in the real world. Now, what we can do in that first year, you could take a lot of depreciation up front, and it could wipe out. I mean, you could break even in that first year. But then after that, that means you're going to have less and less depreciation each year. The more we take up front, the less you're going to have later on. But if we look at just depreciation alone, you will save about 30% of what you spend. So, you know, we get 100% deduction, but that doesn't reduce your tax by that dollar amount. So if you spend $75,000, we use an easy number, your total tax savings because of depreciation is going to be about $25,000. So there's still $50,000 out of your pocket. Looking at your maintenance cost on your current truck, you're at about $26,000 a year. Let me crunch some numbers here. The music's playing, and we'll get to a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk about what kind of predictions we could make as far as fuel and maintenance cost savings. Stick around. We'll be right back with some numbers right after this. Kevin Rothberg. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Before the break, I was talking with Jeremiah in Pennsylvania. We're going to go back and talk about some numbers. So, Jeremiah, like I said, in that first year, we could wipe out the payment with depreciation alone. In the second year, you're not even going to come close. We might wipe out a fifth of that cost in depreciation. The third year, going to be even lower than that. Or we could spread it out more even. Really just depends. That's the choice on depreciation I usually make right when we're doing the tax returns, like the last decision we make. Let's look at some of your other costs, though. Maintenance at 24 cents a mile. I think we could safely predict that you should be able to maintain that glider for the first 4 or 5 years on an average cost of about 10 cents a mile. So that's going to put 14 more cents to the bottom line. That's a pretty hefty amount. I mean, that's 14,000 savings in maintenance. So between
right, and that was a lot of upgrades that I did that would be able to be transferred over to the other truck, like shocks, the rear end, quite a few other items. So all that would be transferred over to the new truck anyway. A lot
Excellent.
Of those just, you know, big upgrades.
Excellent. That's good. And then we look at fuel cost. What is your fuel mileage right now on the truck you're running?
For the previous year, for the whole year, I was at 7.7. And over the winter, I was at 7.4.
Okay. I mean, we're going to have a hard time beating that by much. You know, it's certainly possible. I mean, we see 8.5 out of a really well-specced glider sometimes. I wouldn't count on that. In fact, I wouldn't count on more than 8. If we get more than 8, that'd be great, but I'd look at it as a bonus. So you're only going to knock maybe a couple cents off on the fuel cost because you're already doing pretty well there. But between depreciation, maintenance, pretty big savings. There are a little bit of savings in fuel. This truck really, in reality, isn't going to cost you much. I mean, there's going to be a slight upcharge here maybe, but not a whole lot. And I'm looking at your numbers. You're very profitable. I don't think this is a stretch at all.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, congratulations. Hey. Sounds like you got a great deal going there. And keep me informed on how that's working out. Let's go to Ohio. Herschel, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Kevin. I have a
good afternoon. What's on your mind today?
Well, I got a two-part truck question today. Mid-America Trucking Show coming up, and everybody's got their show specials. So part one is, do you happen to know what the show special is for Road King shocks, and what do you think of the investment of buying those? They're way, way more money, but longevity-wise, what do you think of them?
You know, this is one of those products that is just so different than everything else on the market. It's along the lines of a Bose Ride system that there's just no other comparison. The quality and the technology and the build on these shocks is light years ahead of anything else. Not one of those products that's a little better. It's its own category. I mean, when you look at even the premium shocks available for trucks, they're built the same way they were built 50 years ago. I mean, they're all built out of, exhaust tubing. They just don't do their job very well. The job of a shock absorber is to provide downward force on that wheel. And the more downward force it provides, the better the handling is going to be. And then you've got to get the dampening right to create a good ride. So there's a real trick going on there. You want a lot of downward force for handling, but you want a nice, smooth response for ride. And the typical truck shock just doesn't do either one very well, but it's all we've ever known. It's what we're used to. You get in a truck with Road Kings, and it is a totally different experience. The ride itself is not what a lot of people might expect. It's not a big, soft, cushy ride, which is good for me. I wouldn't want that. The handling is what stands out for me. The truck just feels like it is glued to the road when you have these shocks, and no matter how bad the road gets, you don't get that wheel hop and that bounce. It just corners really well. The handling to me is the first thing I notice. The ride is firm, but you don't get those big jarring bumps like you do with traditional shocks. But it's a firm ride, which is what I like. So I love the product. Absolutely love these shocks. As far as cost, there's not a huge cost savings for most people because most people never replace their standard shocks when they should. I mean, you should be replacing those shocks every 100,000 miles, maybe about 75,000, really. That's about all they last.
Right.
But most people will leave them in there a 500,000 miles. They're just shot, but they leave them in anyway. So if you're one of those people that never replaces your shocks anyway, there's not going to be any savings here. But this really is kind of a lifetime shock. I mean, you'll get a really good 400,000 miles out of the shock, and then you rebuild it.
Okay, the reason that I wanted them was...
Uh-oh. Herschel, I'm losing you.
It was bought...
There?
Remember the flatbed? Yeah. All these daggone
telephones.
Oh, there
you go. You're back now. Go ahead.
Okay. Remember the flatbedder that went under a few years ago, Aero Trucking?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well, that's what this one used to be. In their infinite wisdom, they saved themselves $18 when they bought this truck, and they bought it without ABS on the front drive axle. I have done everything there is to do, springs, bushing, urethane bushings even, airbags, you name it, I've done it. The whole brake system, and every time I hit the brake bobtail, the tires lock up, and we have went on some interesting rides because of it. So I'm thinking that the downward
that will
force.
All change. Yep.
That's what I'm hoping for. The downward force will help, so we don't slide around so much.
Absolutely, and that's what I say. For me, this shock is more about handling than it is ride. There is a clear ride improvement. But the handling improvement is amazing. Like I say, the cornering, the stability, the wheel hop goes away. You're not going to get that sliding around because the wheel's not making good contact. So, yeah, you'll be amazed with that. And as far as specials, they are doing all free shipping. They're doing some specials on their new cab shocks. I think they're giving away some stuff. I don't think there's any change in pricing, but free shipping does help.
Okay. All right. Is that in effect already, or do you have any idea?
I'm not sure. You'd have to give them a call. Sometimes they'll do some stuff ahead of time, especially if you know you can't make it to the show.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's see. We're going to head off to Ohio. Mike, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Kevin?
Good. What can I help you with today?
We got an oil sample today.
All right. Let's take a look. Tell me a little bit about the truck. What year?
2002, Columbia Freightliner. We had rebuild at 1.2, and we now have 376,000 on the rebuild, but the bearings were changed out about 800,000 or 850,000, somewhere around there. And so I was wondering, beans that showed up on there, I was curious as to your thoughts on that and how long are bearings supposed to last and so forth and so on.
Okay, so they did bearings at 800,000, but then they didn't do them again on the in-frame?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Typically,
I'd
bearings
have to
are,
ask.
That's when they're Yeah, they're typically done at the in-frame. If they were done at 800,000, something went wrong. Now, because I've just seen, you know, these engines will hold bearings for a million plus miles. And a lot of times on an in-frame, we look at them and think, my God, why should we even change? We do. But I've seen some really good-looking bearings after a million plus miles. There's the music. Let me look this over a little bit. We're going to get to a break, and when I come back, we'll talk about what I'm seeing in here. So stick around. We'll be right back. Check out the website. It's letstruck.com. Get signed up for the CMC. And if you haven't called us about taxes yet, pick up the phone right now and call us. We'll get your taxes taken care of this year. 855-800-FUEL. 855-800-FUEL. 3835. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rock. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're going to get right back to the phone calls. I was talking with Mike in Ohio about an oil sample. So, Mike, are you doing a lot of idling?
We did a little bit more than we usually do because the APU went out.
Okay.
A little bit of cold spell, but not a whole lot.
Okay. So, and that's about what I expected. Fuel dilution is up a little bit, not enough that I would worry about it. And if you've been idling, there's a good chance that's where it's coming from anyway. The one thing I'm a little more concerned about on this engine is the soot's at 1.7. They don't flag it for that amount, but that's usually an indication to me there's some improvement we could be making. And based on when the in-frame was done, when was the last time the overhead was set?
It's been a while.
Okay,
it's been
I
over
would do
a year
the overhead.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would do the overhead. That's probably where the soot is coming from. I'm not seeing any other indication. Everything else looks good. Viscosity looks good. Base is holding up really well. That's a good sign. We've got no oxidation. We've got a little bit of lead and iron slightly elevated, but that could still be just break-in metals, so I wouldn't worry too much about those either. Overall, the sample looks good. I would just get the overhead done, and let's see if we can bring that soot down. What do you have in this truck for exhaust?
Pittsburgh Power and the polished manifold.
Okay, good. And so I know we're not getting the soot from back pressure. How about a Fleet air filter? Do you have one?
Yes, sir, we do.
Okay. So those are two other possible causes of soot, you know, a air filter, bad exhaust, those kind of things. We can rule those out. So it's most likely just the overhead.
Okay. All right, we can schedule that because I deliver in Pittsburgh every day, and we can not do a backhaul one day and get up in there for the open
up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, there you go. They'll take care of it.
All right, super then. Thank you, sir, for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's see. We're going to head off to Lost Wages. Cheryl, welcome to the program. Oh, I mean Las Vegas.
Hey. Oh, Las Vegas was interesting. Delivered to the Speedway and got to be in the infield. It was kind of cool. But, hey, I wanted to call and give you – I wanted to give you an update on our progress. Real quick summary, we started out as new owner-operators back in the fall. And when we last spoke in January, our rate per mile was not where it needs to be, even though like fuel and overall expenses. And so I wanted to call and let you know that we're making some headway.
Excellent.
I think Brittany sent you a couple of files. And I'm just using these to give us some more granular visibility on how we're doing. It's not replacing like month-end reports. And this is actual raw numbers. The truck ran for this much money, and this is how many miles we drove. It's not like a income versus expense type thing.
Right.
And
this is good.
We were at $1.03 a mile at the end of December. And if you see the chart, it kind of dropped down a little bit, but we're up at $1.47 a mile so far for March.
That's really
good.
For a lot of reasons. One, it's a huge improvement, so we'd love to see that. Any improvement for me is good. If we make little tiny improvements over a long period of time, that's fantastic. This is a big improvement. I mean, that is fantastic to see that. And you're really getting much, much closer to what we're seeing as kind of averages right now anyway. I mean, we're not seeing a lot of people over the $1.60 a mile, you know, right now with rates. There are exceptions always, but rates are down right now. We know that. So for you to have improved this much in that time frame is outstanding. You're doing a lot of things right.
Thank you. The big part of that was getting our deadhead down. You can see we started out at like 22%, and we're down to 5% so far this month.
That's huge.
That's a huge bit. And in the beginning, we were focusing a little bit more on just the rate per day because we were so unfamiliar with what we could expect from the load board, and we're kind of alarmed at how low the rates we saw on the load board. We were just trying to make sure we were generating any kind of money while we got used to how things worked. And you can see that our rate per day has gone up.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
And this is like classic textbook. This is exactly how I want to see owner operators and businesses run. You guys were very prepared when you got in, but no matter how prepared you are, it's kind of overwhelming in the beginning. There's a lot of stuff going on.
It was so overwhelming, and with the analysis paralysis, we just picked a goal of a minimum $500 a day that we were under a load. Let's just do that while we get used to what can we expect, you know, and the fact that there wasn't any, there's really no team loads on the load board. We've pulled two loads as an actual team load in the time that we've been here. And one of the big changes that we made was, you know, my instinct as a driver is to want to pull my weight behind the wheel. And we finally figured out that because there weren't a lot of actual team loads, it was being pretty disruptive in the sleep cycle, you know, getting up in the middle of the day and driving. And so we've had me just focusing more on the load board. And the load board here is that's not the cream of the crop, but when there is good stuff that pops up, it goes really quickly. And so when we don't have our next load yet, I'm hitting nuisance last search once I get my parameters set, and then when that good load comes up, I'm on it. And that's really helping the higher paying freight. And then the other big step, I did get hooked up with a couple of mentors. One I think you're familiar with, John Cavuto.
Oh, absolutely.
And he really helped me. We were really struggling with that. Do you take a chance and sit for a day or two versus moving that really, you know, moving the truck for less money than, you know, you can put money in the bank? And he really helped me get a better feel for that. And so that's something that we've been a little more willing to do, and it's paying off. I don't think once we're on the road, we're not sitting any more than we were. We're just being more willing to wait for it. And the fact that we can both drive, it does open up some more loads because we're not limited to, well, you know, John's 10 won't be over yet. Hey, this is a good load. Let's go grab it and I'll go pick it up.
Absolutely. Yeah. The way you guys are doing this is I just love to see this. You're working as a team, whether it's driving or business or finding loads or crunching numbers. There's so much power in that flexibility. And we can see it already in a very short period of time. Your numbers are improving in a really big way. So just keep doing what you're doing because it's working really well.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate the feedback and the support. I got time for a quick question. I know you got a lot.
Sure.
Hopefully this will be a quick one. We're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place between Volvo and Cummins. We've got some oil leak at the dipstick too, but kind of wallowed out down there in the oil pan, and we took it to Cummins, and Cummins was like, well, I'm going to mark up the parts really high on the Volvo parts because Volvo put the dipstick tube in, not Cummins. And so then we brought it to Volvo, and Volvo says, we don't want to touch it. You got to take it to Cummins. So we're in Vegas now. I know you don't keep track of everybody across country, but off the top of your head, do you know somebody that would be able to do that kind of work here in Vegas?
I don't. The only shop I'm familiar with in Vegas is the Freightliner dealer, and I wouldn't go there.
Okay.
I mean, they were good for a Freightliner dealer, one of the better Freightliner dealers I've been in. How much oil are you losing?
A gallon every couple thousand miles. And we took it to Cummins, and Cummins diagnosed, it's a lot. And Cummins, you know, did a blow-by test, and they said everything looked good there. They said that we're losing it down there where the dipstick tube connects to the engine. And they were willing to retrofit it to Cummins specs, but they wanted $2,000.
That was going to be my next question. This isn't being covered under any kind of a warranty, so this is all out of pocket for you, right?
Yes.
Okay. Are you going to be anywhere near Dallas?
Eventually. We may end up just going on home and taking it into one of the shops that we work with locally because we're out of Austin. So if you know somebody in Dallas, it'd be worth taking it there. We also want to get our APU fixed, but I know there's a shop there in Dallas, too, for that.
If you get a chance, I would run it by Redneck Diesel.
I thought
in Dallas.
That's who you were going to say. Okay.
Yeah, I would run it by them. Since this is all being done out of pocket and there isn't, like, they're going to have to retrofit, there doesn't seem to be, like, it's just not pull a part off, put one on, I would rather get this to an independent. This is something, you know, you're paying for it. Yeah. If you have a good shop at home, you could certainly do it there. If you're going to be around Dallas, that's the one shop that comes to mind down in that part of the country. I would get it into Redneck Diesel and let them take a look at it. There's the music. I've got to get to a break. We're going to come back and take some more questions right after this. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're down to the final segment, so I'm going to get right back to some phone calls. Let's head off to Oregon. Walt, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Kevin. Thank you for taking my call. I listened to the show the other night, and you spoke about a book regarding Lipitor, Thief of Memories. I read the book in one sitting, and I'm not going to take Lipitor anymore, and I've been on it for 6 years.
Wasn't that scary?
It's scary as hell.
And you can't question the credentials of the author. I mean, that we're talking, you know, this guy's got an amazing background in medicine and all kinds of things. And this is a personal story of what happened to him. So it's a very credible source.
Well, and I'm an older driver, and, you know, I've experienced little lapses in memory and stuff, and I just attribute it to old age until I read this book, and I says, oh, my God. So
yeah.
I'm going to quit taking Lipitor. Any suggestions on what I should do?
Yeah.
Are there supplements anything like that?
Well, the crazy part about this is, you know, we got all crazy about cholesterol 50 years ago, and it has done so much damage. And now all of a sudden, the government now says that cholesterol in your diet is no longer a nutrient of concern. And we went from a limit of 300 milligrams a day, which was like an egg and a half. That was your limit of cholesterol for the day. We went from that limit to no limit. There is no longer any dietary limit on cholesterol. You can eat as much as you want, but yet nobody even knows that. That's a major change, and they just quietly put it in. They've also now dropped the limits on fat, but nobody's talking about that either. So first off, everything we know about cholesterol is just wrong. So that's where we have to start. In fact, the older you get, the more protective cholesterol becomes. So they've shown clear proof that as we age, we want our cholesterol numbers to go up. Older people with low cholesterol die a lot more often than older people with high cholesterol. Older people with low cholesterol get dementia and Alzheimer's a lot more often than people with high cholesterol. So the first thing we have to do is not get too freaked out about our cholesterol numbers. If you're concerned about them, after stopping the Lipitor, I would wait about 90 days, and I would go in for a really comprehensive panel. And what I mean by that is they're not going to check just total cholesterol. They're going to look at HDL, triglycerides, and on the LDL, what we've been told is the bad cholesterol isn't necessarily bad. If we have the right kind of LDL, then it's protective or at very least just neutral. So there's a screening to detect what kind of LDL you have. What we do know now is that a high-fat diet, high-fat, low-carb diet, is the only diet that's ever been shown to improve cholesterol numbers. I shouldn't say that. If you do a strict vegetarian diet, you can also make some improvements in some of your markers. But a high-fat, low-carb diet actually improves all of them. Your HDL will go up, your triglycerides will go down, and your LDL will become the large fluffy type. And that's all without any kind of supplementation, just a good diet of healthy fats. So in the beginning,
okay,
I would say try to get your diet, you know, low-carb, moderate protein. Don't overdo the protein. And get a lot of good fats, grass-fed butter, coconut oil, grass-fed and pastured animal products, pastured eggs when you can find them, good quality raw milk cheeses, nuts, avocados, olive oil. All of those really high-quality fats are what will really improve your cholesterol numbers.
Okay, because I am borderline type 2 diabetes. My A1C runs around, it's usually right at 7. And so I've been watching my carbs anyway. And my last round of labs showed my triglycerides way down, my cholesterol way down, and everything seems to be looking real good.
Excellent, excellent. You know, if you wanted to kickstart this and really see an improvement quickly, I would try doing like a 14 to 30 day really strict ketogenic diet, like 20 to 30 grams of carbs a day, which is pretty restrictive. I do it occasionally. I just went through a 10-day, and it's amazing how much better I feel when I do it. Now, I don't stay on it all the time anymore because I do like vegetables and sweet potatoes and some berries and some dairy here and there. But every once in a while, and again, I just did it for 10 days, and it's amazing. My guess is if you were to do a strict 30-day ketogenic diet, your A1C would come down into the 5 range.
Okay. I will look into that and get started on something like that because I just flat took the Lipitor and put it in the back of the shelf. It ain't going in me anymore. Not after reading that book, I'll tell you.
Good. You
so
know, not
thank
only,
you very, very much
you know, that,
for that information.
You're welcome, and congratulations on taking charge of your own health and doing that. Not only, you know, the book was primarily focused on all the downsides of taking statins. The really scary part is there doesn't seem to be any upside. The cholesterol numbers come down, but it doesn't improve anything. People still die. People still get heart attacks. People still have strokes. So the cholesterol numbers are kind of meaningless. You take the drug, your numbers go down, but just die anyway. What's the point? You'll be much better off without them. So, again, congratulations. Let's go to Wisconsin. Eric, welcome to the program.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
What's on your mind today?
See, I am coming to the DMT this year, and I was wondering how many of your vendors are going to be there, and are there going to be specials on their products?
Yes, there are specials, and I don't have an exact number in front of me, but most of our vendors attend, or even the ones that don't attend sometimes have product there. We have a shop that's going to be doing installs. Have you been, or how long have you been signed up for the CMC?
Since last year around
okay.
October.
Have you been getting the emails?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So I know Lisa has a long schedule of emails that she sends out, and part of those usually include pre-orders and product specials and all of that information. So if those haven't gone out yet, I'm sure they will be. But almost across the board, all of our vendors are involved somehow, and sometimes this is the best pricing you get all year.
Okay, okay. And I have a question about craving sweets and sweet things. How do I get past that?
Time without sweets will do it. So that's the one thing to know, that will go away if you can stay away from sweets long enough. Be careful of artificial sweeteners or even using things like stevia, which really doesn't have any health downsides. I would just avoid artificial sweeteners completely, things like Equal and those kind of true artificial sweeteners. Stay away from them because they're just bad for you, and they will keep that craving alive. Stevia isn't bad for you. It's a fully natural product, but it will still keep that craving going. As long as your body keeps tasting sweet stuff, it will keep craving sweet stuff. So the more sweetness you can get out of your diet, and the longer you can do it, the more the cravings will go away. One of the things that I find that helps is when you get those sweet cravings, try one, drinking more water. Many times our hunger signal or that craving is just we're a little dehydrated. The other one is eat a good quality fat. Like, I know this sounds crazy, but I have been known to drive down the road and eat a tablespoon of butter, good grass-fed salted butter, and that can actually help some of the sweet cravings. So try those two things and just know that the longer you go without sweet foods, the more and more those cravings are going to diminish. Well, there's the music. I've got to get out of here. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time. Be safe, be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey with Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. We are going to wrap it up now and get back out on the road. We plan on recording tomorrow and Wednesday. I don't know if it'll be an hour or two. And just to let you know, it's always a little more difficult when we're on the road, and sometimes we have to cancel. But right now, we are planning on recording tomorrow and Wednesday. So join us.